Welcome to everyone tonight. A little smaller group, a little bit colder outside maybe, for whatever reason, but we're glad that we can be together and we can I just want to look at the Lord's Word tonight. Some of it because of the conviction that God has put me under, just in hearing some of the last messages that we've heard from Philippians. And so let's pray as we begin, and then we'll go on from there. Our Father, we recognize again tonight and are so reminded that you are a holy God, that you're righteous, and that with you there's no sin, there's no presence of sin in any way. Lord, help us to keep that in our minds as we walk through this world where we see so much sin, and it seems to grow continuously. I pray, Father, that you just help us tonight to be able to focus on your word and what you would have us to do as we walk in a world of darkness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening, if you want to, you turn your Bibles so that they should almost fall open to Philippians, because that's where we've been quite a bit, as Pastor Rich has been teaching through that. But I want to just look at some different scriptures tonight, but I want to focus primarily on one point, and that point is godliness or holiness. Pastor Jeff has been teaching us from chapter 3 in Philippians in the last couple of messages. And there the Apostle Paul has been exhorting all his readers to press on towards the goal of knowing Christ Jesus. And not looking back, but reaching forward in that goal. So he says in Philippians chapter 3, and I want you to we're just going to start in verse 8. I'm just going to read some of that, because this leads up to this matter of godliness. In verse 8 he says, "More than that, I count all these things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." And then he says this. He says, "Not that I have already obtained it. I press on for the goal of the upward prize of God in Christ Jesus." And Peter says in 1 Peter, he says, "Be holy in all your behavior, for it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" And the application of these passages of the Scripture, they imply action, or they imply change, as we heard on Sunday. So how do we change? And this is what I want to talk about tonight a little bit. How do we pursue godliness? I don't know about you, but in my life, change is hard for me. We get set in habits and so forth. And some of them are not sinful. Some of them are sinful habits. But when I think about some of the things. For one thing, I like to eat, and I like to eat the things that I like to eat. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. I'm a sauerkraut and dumplings. Give me a summer sausage sandwich, and I got a little bit of a sweet tooth too, and I'm a happy camper, right? And my wife keeps, we've been married for 52 years, and she's a great cook. And I'm not saying that because she's sitting here, but she is a great cook. And I love those dishes she makes. But maybe in the last 10 years, we've been getting these new samples of things, because she wants me to eat a little bit more healthier, right? And I'm like, ooh, okay, I'll have a little bit of that. because I'm used to all of these things that I really like to eat. And so it's hard to change. And so now I know we all have habits and we all have sinful habits. And those sinful habits, they drag us down. And I know the struggles that there are in changing those habits. Some habits, you know, some of the things that we could struggle with, you know, for instance, the love of money. We struggle with maybe wrong desires in our hearts. We might struggle with power or with self-esteem. I don't know what it is that you struggle with, but we all are sinners and we struggle with sin. And so we need to change those things. And the Apostle Paul shows us how we can do that. So I want you to turn tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. You know, it's interesting as you look through Paul's letters, he's always, he uses a lot of athletic examples. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 9 and verse 24, he talks about running the race and about putting off all that hinders you. And here in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, he says this, "But I have nothing to do with worldly fables." And the second part of this verse, he gives the answer to change, and that is discipline. He says, "Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness." And verse 8, he goes on, he says, "Why?" And it's because godliness is profitable for all things. And since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. Sinful patterns do not develop automatically. Yes, you know, we're born in sin. I'm not saying that we're not. But sinful patterns become part of one's life through practice. It's because we practice those things. And most of us, as we run this race and run for the goal, as Paul talks about, we want to be godly. But we want it instantly. We live in a world where everything is instant. It comes in instant packages. We have instant coffee. We have instant pudding. We have instant houses. They bring them up on trucks and shove them on a foundation and open a door in your home. I mean, we believe in everything instant. And we want godliness to be instant as well. We want our kids to be good kids all the time, and we want that instantly. We want somebody to maybe give us three steps to godliness that we could take today, and then next Friday, all of a sudden, we're going to be godly. But it doesn't work that way. The Bible is very plain about how godliness does come. And Paul said in 1 Timothy, if you look back one verse, but just to paraphrase a little bit, he said that Timothy should stay focused on the words of faith and the doctrine which you have been following. Don't pay attention to old worldly fables. And then in the second part of that verse, he says, discipline yourself for godliness. Discipline is the secret to godliness. Discipline has seemed to have kind of disappeared from the American society. A lot of people don't know really even what that means. But apart from discipline, there's no other way to attain godliness. Discipline is God's path to godliness or holiness. So there's no other option about becoming godly. The fact is that this is a command. It's God commands us when he says to be holy, for I am holy. Be perfect, for I am perfect. It's a divine command. And so first of all, I want to say that we know that we will never reach perfection in this life. The Bible tells us that in 1 John 1 and verse 8. He says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Three or four years ago, I heard a fellow preaching, and he said, "I haven't sinned in 2 weeks." And I went, "Wow." I actually thought, I think the hair stood up on the back of my neck, and I looked up, I looked for a halo or something. But anyway, I was really shocked about that. But the Bible is very clear, is that we are sinners and we sin. But godliness or holiness should be the goal for the Christian life. It's a desire to please God. To please God in how I think, the words I say, the things that I do, even in the way that I feel. And it means to be more like God every day. Now, and I'm not talking about or indicating in any way a legalistic type thing, but I'm talking about holiness. He says that without holiness, we won't be able to see God. And so, we notice that Paul says, discipline yourselves for the purpose, or literally towards godliness. The original meaning is to be oriented toward godliness. And it means that our whole lives as Christians should be structured, they should be set up, they should be organized and towards godliness. That should be our goal. Everything that happens in my life should be should contribute towards that goal. Not just on Sunday or on Wednesday, but really every day of the week. And I've been convicted about that in my own life, that I need to be focused more on godliness. We only become more like God by being oriented toward that goal. And we have this goal set in our minds, it will come to our minds, whatever we're doing. If we set that goal, regardless of that we're at work or we're at home, we're with our family, we're doing a project or whatever, we should have that in the back of our mind, that the goal is godliness and to please God. When Paul wrote 2 Corinthians 5:17, he said that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. And Paul had this in mind, that the Holy Spirit already had oriented believers towards God and His holiness. At conversion, when they were born again. But he's put a focus in your life and my life as a Christian. But that does not automatically make us godly. Because of the work of Christ, we've been counted perfect in God's sight, but still we are far from that perfection. We're far from that. So how does this work? How do we, as believers, how are we going to become godly? We're not going to be zapped into that position. It's not instant. But the word discipline here, it means sustained daily effort. And it's a word which we get, our English word, gymnastics or gymnasium, comes from this word. And it relates to athletes. An athlete becomes an expert only by regular practice. It takes years to be perfect or to be a good athlete. I mean, we can say, yeah, that person is really coordinated, or he's really a good athlete, or he has a gift for that. But he really may be coordinated, but without that daily practice, he's not going to be the best. He's not going to run that race, like Paul says, to win the prize. And so it's a daily daily practice in order for us to even to become godly. So for instance, someone might want to be a weightlifter. If I was going to be a weightlifter and I went to the gym or to wherever that is, I'm not going to start out with a 200-pound weight. In fact, I couldn't do that because I probably couldn't do it after I was really good at it. But so you start out with something small, and I just don't do it if I go there on Monday. And then maybe I won't go till Saturday or something like that. It doesn't work that way. If we're going to be good at that, if we're going to be good, we have to do it on a daily basis. And so is the same with our holy walk with the Lord. It has to be a constant, a daily thing. So what does it involve for a Christian? I want you to turn again to another scripture, to Luke chapter 9. Very familiar to all of you, Luke 9 and verse 23. What Jesus says here, he says, take up your cross daily. And it means every day. And he says, deny yourself and follow me. It doesn't mean denying myself of chewing gum through Lent. Or not eating meat through Lent. It isn't have that thing. It's a denying ourselves. It means denying the old self within me, my old pride. So, so to be rid of the old man, the old flesh, is really what it means. And there's a sin of pride that we had even before conversion. And just to explain this, you know, as we are justified, we're positioned in Christ Jesus. We are there. This is not a works salvation. And when we get to the place of glorification, it's done. It's a done thing. But in between here, we walk in a process of sanctification. And that's why Paul says, I go and I run to reach the goal, to reach the prize. And so in getting there, we're talking about a godly walk. So taking up our cross, it doesn't mean carrying some kind of a heavy burden, like my cross is this person that I work with. He's my cross. I just have to bear this cross. That's not what it is. Or my cross is my brother-in-law. He's a real thorn in my flesh, but I'll put up with it. Okay? That's not what he's talking about here. Taking up one's cross means going to the place of death. It means putting off my old sinful life patterns of the old man. And following him is putting on the example of Christ. So someone said, I heard someone say, okay, this is an example of this. It took Moses probably about a month to get the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it took him 40 years to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. And so as we, with our old fleshly way that we have, we run for the goal, we strive to be holy, because God says, you are my children, be holy, because I am holy. And so just as we close, I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 4, one other place. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And this is where Paul, he really brings this all together here. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. And he says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. It's not enough as we run just to put these things off. One of my old pastors used to say, when we were talking about children, And he said the heart is like a vacuum. He says, if you take something out, you better put something in, because it will pull something in if you don't put something in. And we were talking about raising our kids and how, you know, a lot of you know the difficulties of that. But the important thing is not just putting off, but it's also putting on, putting back in, putting the things in that would draw us towards holiness. And so it's just not enough to put these sinful patterns off, but it's important to replace the old habits with good biblical ones each day, and to follow Jesus Christ. So that's what it means to discipline ourselves for godliness. It's saying no to self and saying yes to Christ every day, until one by one, gradually, each one of these old habits is replaced by a new one. One that honors God. This can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that being filled is a daily thing, to be filled with the Spirit. And truly what it means is to be controlled by the Spirit, so that we might walk in a godly manner, to present ourselves holy before a holy God. So, I think it's just a reminder to us tonight. It's very short, but I've just been so convicted about this in my own life just recently, and I just wanted to share it with you, because we can get caught up in this world of busy. I mean, this world is busy. There's not a one person in this room that isn't scheduled. They're scheduled for this, and then we got to be here, and we have to go to the next place, and so forth and so on. And in doing that, and even in the busyness of the life that we have, we need to be disciplined to be godly. We've been called out as a people. And the more I think about that, and the more our focus is on Christ, and to see who He is and what He's accomplished for us. And I would say that we're a minority in the world, but we have a future that is incomparable to anything else, because what Christ has done for us at the cross. And so we need to be a holy people. We need to be disciplined, not to be legalistic, but we need to be disciplined because of the love that we have for Christ Himself. So let's pray before we pray all together, I guess. Father, You are holy, and You teach us to be holy in our daily walk with You. And I pray, Father, that we would take these things to be very serious in our own lives, in our own families, as fathers, as we lead our families, and as we so much see even the day approaching. We feel that we live in the very close to end times here. And Lord, I pray that we might be those like the five virgins that would be looking up and waiting for You as You return. Help us to be that way, and help us to, as we walk, as we put off old patterns in our life, sinful patterns of the flesh, to put on godly patterns and to walk with You. And we would ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.